It is indeed the award-winning best nighttime show, The Art of Everything, right here on SAFM. Joining me for a robust conversation as we kick off the new year is three gents who are really quite regular features, not just within this show, but within my entire radio career. Whenever I need smarter minds to prevail, they are the ones that I rely on. We are talking all things art activism, oftentimes a very heated point of conversation as people try to, you know, bring artists into the world of activism, but also simultaneously slating them for participating whenever they are brave enough to vocalize their opinions on any matter, whether it's be the current social political state in our country, whether it's just about the deteriorating economy, whether it's about issues that affect them directly as artists. You know, they damned if they do and they damned if they don't. We got on the line Dr. Sipho Sithole, who is, of course, a doctor by way of anthropology, cultural consultant, researcher and academic. And also joining the conversation, Percy Mabandu, who is an art historian, a writer, an author, and all things fabulous gentleman. And we've got Breeze Yoko, who's a Johannesburg-based multidisciplinary artist specializing in video, film, and graffiti. Let me start maybe with you, Percy, and let's look at, you know, when people call for artists, I was saying it's a double-edged sword. It doesn't matter whether it's a visual artist, whether it's a performing artist, whether it's a musician. It's a double-edged sword every time they try and engage some kind of discourse. Is it even something worthwhile for artists in 2022 to really get into the mix and engage in conversations around politics, gender, you know, around any of the many issues that we face as South Africans?
Well, hey, good evening, Bridget. It's lovely to be here, you know, like a lovely quick jump into heavy things as the year begins.
As the year begins.
I was going to say on the 37th of December. look, I mean, I think we have a real deep history of this kind of thing. In fact, I'm often surprised when artists are not concerned with the condition of life around us. You know, I'm always surprised when artists are not in some way, one way or another, interested in the quality of the lived experience around them. Mm. But the history of the thing is that these things have been articulated in two ways. Mm. So artists have often spoken through their work without necessarily grandstanding and grabbing the microphone and articulating a kind of political manifesto. Mm. But in the quality of the work that they make, they reflect on the quality of lives of the people. And by that stroke, they become political and socially active as individuals, or should I say as creative intellectuals engaged with the condition of life as we are experiencing it, however difficult or easy. Mm. You know, I mean, we have in a country like South Africa, that has been the norm. You know, I've written a great deal about the work of Johnny Jani and Abdullah Ibrahim, Miriam Makeba, who had 9 passports. You know, when the apartheid state revoked her citizenship, she managed to have 9 citizenships also, to speak 9 passports across the African continent, and using, you know, her very existence.
No, she needs somebody. I'm on the radio.
You know, was an affront to.
She needs to. She needs to.
Abuse against human rights. So that her very existence was a kind of activism. But of course, in 2022, the condition of the people has moved quite interestingly, and part of it is this: where artists are incentivized to do their work. You know, to please brands, you know, you have a problem where the first concern that creatives have is whether what they do or say will be in sync with the brands that they hope to get checks from. Now, that's a whole different kind of censorship, right?
Yeah.
And so it disincentivizes artists to care about the suffering of the people, right?
Yeah.
The suffering of the people. And that is the danger we are facing, the kind of hyper-commercialization of the creative processes that govern artists, so that artists are no longer concerned with being honest, not only to themselves, but to the reality within which they work. There has been this thing that causes issues, across art history, called art for art's sake.
Yes.
Right. But what that means, and I've seen, a lot of people misunderstand what that means. Art for art's sake is that when artists are creating work concerned with advancing the form itself and not so much content. So artworks are made up of two things, form and content.
Yeah.
And content is basically these themes of human rights, romance, or whatever it is that your art is speaking about. But form is the shape, nature. So if you're a painter, you're concerned with advancing the way in which paint as a medium is understood, or the way in which the saxophone is played as a form. John Coltrane, Zimlawana managed to push the envelope with how we understand the sound of the saxophone. Right, so that's what art for art's sake becomes. Like, you are concerned with advancing the idea of the instrument and how it functions within the creative project that you are interested in.
Yeah,
not so much that you are interested. So these are concept. You are interested in conceptual ideas more than you are interested in formal in the content as such.
Yeah,
I
think this is a good place to also segue Prasipho into the conversation. How are you doing? I haven't spoken to you in forever. Are you good? Happy New Year. Prasipho?
We've lost him.
I was meeting people. I did not want to have the same problem of
bleeding
the background.
I got you. Appreciate it.
So I thought I would mute when my phone comes, and I would expect Breeze to do the same thing.
Breeze, mute your phone.
I heard Dr. Sipho throwing shots at me as usual. I'm here for it.
And interesting enough, I am in my village at Tsinga. The last time I was here, The last time I saw Breeze, we were here together.
Documentary. That's such a beautiful time, Dr.
Lovely. Yeah,
a documentary on food security.
Lovely. Yeah.
Yes. And, let me first embarrass myself. I don't think I've actually met Pesima Band, much as I know about his work. Maybe we have met at a distance, but I won't even rescue him if Ebanji Nkunzi group, because I don't know what he's like. Yeah.
Which is quite strange. Very strange, yes. But now with the pleasantries out of the way, I mean, it's a good way to segue you, because, as Percy talks about art for art's sake, Prasipho, I'm sort of thinking about in the world, and he brought up some interesting references, right? He mentioned the likes of Abdullah Ibrahim, Mom Miriam, and the likes. And that generation is very synonymous with being very vocal, very deliberate, at their time to participate in a discourse, even if it meant being expelled from the country at the risk of their own sort of sustenance and career. And a lot of times I look at creators and musicians, I guess, in particular, and I go, wait, so what has happened to that school of musicians that were really at the forefront of driving conversation, that were really reflective of what their generation was going through? And you find young musicians, the rare ones like Amanda Black, for instance, who will engage a conversation, but oftentimes also get shut down. It's almost like when she wants to advocate for something, social media will then troll and say, no, but that's not your place. Your place is to sing, create a hot record, and really don't talk to us about the political sort of situation in the country. Your opinion is not weighted. And where does that leave, artists? Where does that leave musicians and creators and people within these artistic fields, and sort of their place in engaging conversation and engaging activism?
I guess, first, let me say, it's quite interesting that we're having this discussion because I'm finalizing an article here, and not actually a chapter, which is going to be in an edited book on township studies. And the title of my chapter is called Gwaito and the Reconstruction of Townships, Social Reality. And also, last year, I had an article published in a global hip-hop journal that is edited in at Howard University in the U.S. And that article was entitled Two Genres, One Mic. Is it a Kwaito jive or a rap party? The revolution betrayed. And there I am arguing that... but again, I guess it's such a difficult topic because you don't create artists for a particular purpose. You are either you are an artist or you are not, and you are not. You don't take to say I'm going to be an artist because I want to address this issue and that issue. It just comes as a natural consequence. It's like you can't go and sit under the tree and say I want to compose the next hit. Or I want to write the compose the next best poem. You know, these things they come naturally. You are either an artist for form, as Percy is saying, or for content, which then becomes a conscious decision that you make. And in my article, in my chapter, for instance, I am saying that with the advent of Kwaito, and just after 1994. There was a different expression of freedom. Now we are free to express ourselves or to say anything or whatever, whatever. But at the same time, there was an expectation that the young people had the mic and everyone was listening to them. And I'm arguing that they dropped the mic because they missed the opportunity to use the mic to address their lived experience, as Percy Mabandu was saying, what is happening in front of them, other than dancing to the new found freedoms and forget what were these freedoms about in the first place, and are we on the right track to achieve what the forebearers and their parents had fought for. And everyone ended up being in this dance mode and this happy mood and this commercialized and a kind of artistic expression, and then they lost it, you know. And it's the same thing with hip-hop. I'm arguing the same thing, that hip-hop had the mic and had the platform, but they didn't use that. However, having said that, the Miriam Makebas and the Dorothy Masukas and all of that were a creation of circumstances, and no one would never know whether would they have followed the path that they followed, or whether they would have even been the best artists, other than that everyone was listening to what was coming out of South Africa. So they became heroes out of circumstance. And I remember when I signed Thandiswa Mazwai and produced her first album, and I was saying to the MD of Galo then, that I want to test if we can break artists without being listened to because they are victims of apartheid. Which is art for art's sake, that we can break an artist because they are just good. Not because someone is pitching them, or let's listen to these poor South Africans who are in exile, and then incidentally, they don't become the artists that they became. You know, it's a very controversial topic. But there's another matter I want to get to when I get the next round, around the photography. How an art piece that was taken by a photographer because of what they were seeing, become something else. But let me just pause here for now.
I mean, you bring up salient points, you see, when you talk about heroes of circumstance, because I think some of us, we don't look at it from that very academic lens. We don't sort of interrogate, would they have been, you know, that generation of yesteryear had, as you rightfully said, maybe we question whether, you know, had the circumstance not pushed them in a particular direction, would they have been even half as vocal and half as active as we know them to be? But when you are backed against a corner and you are pushed to the brink of, you know, non-existence, it's either you get in the ring and fight, or you just wither in the corner in silence and suffer and torment. Interesting. So then that begs the question to say, so then is it that this current generation of artists, whether we're looking at musicians, whether, you know, we're looking at visual artists, and perhaps I'm even a bit more reluctant to sort of put visual artists on the negative side of this conversation, because I do feel that they actually are carrying out a conversation. Lots and lots more visual artists are carrying out those. And I don't know, you know, Breeze, if you would agree, lots more visual artists are actually having those dynamic conversations on their mediums, you know, whether you're looking at Brett, whether you're looking at Ayanda, whether you're looking at Lady Scully. There's a whole host of artists on a visual side that are having these dynamic conversations.
Thank you, and apologies for my
it's
radio
okay.
etiquette. I would say on that visual artist aspect, I think the platforms that have been given to visual artists have been very interesting in that. The visual artist world, especially the fine art world, is very receptive to these kind of conversations, because they're also very contained in the sense of who gets to to consume the content. You know, the majority of the people, the names that you have just said now, probably don't ring a bell to them because they're not exposed to them, except for the every now and then when the controversy of the content hits more commercial spaces, and then the names ring a bell a little bit, or rather the names are flung into the spaces, and then they disappear. But if you ask a lot of those people who are not part of that world what kind of content these artists produce, they are unable to tell you beyond what was shown or what was controversial. So I would say, yes, visual art seemingly is speaking more about these controversial, or rather these important conversations that we need to have. But who are they speaking to, and what are they, you know, and what is the incentive for them to speak to that? And to pick up on what Dr. Utapisitole was saying about the Miriam Makebas of the world, you know, I think the platforms and that they were given to be able to speak also were important for them to be able to carry on, because they were not the only ones that were speaking of the apartheid regime at the time, you know, speaking against it through their art. There were other artists that unfortunately weren't able to have the platforms that you know, that Miriam Makeba's of the world were able to enjoy, or you know, or to express themselves in, right? And this leads to me saying that it's all fine and well to be able to blame the youth today for not being to have content that is of, you know, what we would say of any substance, or they're just about a party. And then you look at what's being rewarded, right? You look at what the radios are playing, you look at what the TV is showing, right? And then you look at what we then aspire to, right? We aspire to what is being rewarded. And what is being rewarded is ukujayiva, speaking about nothing and saying nothing and just celebrating. That's the platform, that's the content that's been given platform to, you know? Whether it's social media, whether it's radio, whether it's TV, there is, as soon as you produce something that speaks about something or that says, you know, or has any substance, you are not given the platform to speak about, or you're not rewarded. So, you know, the youth ends up, channeling their artistic, their creativity towards that which can be rewarded. And it happens to be the things that lead us astray.
Yeah. Very interesting, because then that begs the question of commercialization versus content, which I think all you gentlemen, have worked in your respective art spaces, you know, at various levels. And this obviously is a big part of a lot of artists even suppressing that innate voice to really go out and say something, because it does then trickle down to, well, if I take a particular stance on a particular issue, or if I challenge a particular opinion or a point of view or whatever it may be, or shake the status quo, it might hit me commercially in some form, shape or another. You know, and that sometimes is a gamble that people are not quite willing to have. And I think, you know, Butsipho, you've worked in these fields as an executive. And so you completely get that slippery slope that artists and even executives at particular levels have to navigate. How far do you push this before it comes back to bite you? You know, you look at Thandiswa, you mentioned her, who's very vocal on very many issues. You look at Simphiwe Dana, who's very vocal on very many issues, who actually in recent years, you know, received a lot of backlash, a lot of commercial backlash for taking and challenging the current political status quo.
You know, interesting, because I signed both Thandiswa and Simphiwe at Gallo, and I remember Charles Kuhn, who was the group MD, and I was the deputy group MD, having listened to the pre-production material that was coming out of the studios, him saying, oh, but I thought you're going to follow the path of Masikizo and Malaika and that kind of Afropop. And I said, my response to him was, no. Here, as a new executive in the music industry, I'm only interested in documenting history and what young people have to say. If it happens that we make money out of that, it's fine. But this is not my obsession. And also, I'm looking for long shelf life kind of artists. And I use the same example that people will be here for the next 30, next 40 years. Mm. People are not going to be erased by a song, because one of the most difficult moment, challenges about the music industry is that as an artist, you don't want to have a song that is bigger than you, because you get erased by the same song if you are not able to reciprocate with a follow-up song. Mm. We are looking for an artist, you know, we are looking for a prince, you know, that you know him as an artist. No song is going to jump out of out of you, because you just know him as an artist, or John Coltrane. And I will use one example, for instance. I then signed Mr. Selvin, hip-hop, after having signed Squatter Camp and Pro Kid, and I was feeling that we haven't signed some of the older cats who have started this journey. Let's sign Selvin. So we signed Selvin, and his album didn't create any wave in terms of just credibility and all of that, and I could see that he was not having that same swag and confidence when he was walking on in the corridors of Gallo. And I asked my team to call him, that I want to have a meeting with him. And then he came to see me, I think a week or two later. I said to him, I want you to know one thing, Selvin. We did not record you to sell records. What you have now is that you'll forever be in the history of South African music a recorded artist. Because that album is now documented, it's there. Whether he's made money or not, don't worry about it. Guess what happened? 2 weeks later, he won a summer for the music itself, not because it made waves and all of that. And it's been the same thing with Native Rhythms. I tell them every time when we meet, we are interested in what you have to say, and that what you say will last year will be remembered in the next 100 years or so, you know. And unfortunately, I mean, that's why our sound has been very consistent. That's why the company is called Native Rhythms, you know, because we are native like that. We are authentic and we are rooted and so forth. And it will always remain. And unfortunately, when you start making music for validation, you lose the authenticity, and people can hear when you are saying, you are faking it, you know. I mean, Breeze will testify as a visual artist. You paint what you see, not what you want people to see. You draw what you see and what you feel and what you are wanting to express, you know, not what you want people to see. And then what they see is your creation.
I think one of the most one of the most potent questions I've ever heard posed to me in my journey of this as an artist was, what's more important, the art or the artist? And I think in our society we have placed so much importance in the artist that we have forgotten about the art itself. Even the rants or the commentary or the opinions of artists on social media have not necessarily come through art. It's just has been the opinion of what they think, but not necessarily the artistry, and so it might not land well, because some people are very good at articulating themselves through writing or with the short format that is offered on social media. Some people are very articulate through song or through painting or poetry and stuff, and that's how they project their message. But now when you place the importance on the artist, and now all of a sudden you're a celebrity, and everything, anything you say is being received with these open ears, and the art itself is not so much the important, but you now the important thing. It sometimes derails or even deludes artists to think that they are the art themselves rather than the art itself that they create. Because we are mediums that we are given messages to project to the rest of the world. And once you start losing that and you start thinking whatever you create, whatever you touch is it, I think we start getting the situations that we have now where so much importance is placed on people who actually don't have all the answers the things that I create, and then through conversation with other people I learn more about something, but at the time I was creating it, it wasn't necessarily that which I was trying to project, but after its creation, after it's come out, and then the conversations that come out of that also teach me something, so I'm able to receive something from something that that I put out there, and I recognize myself as a medium, that it's not me, but it came through me. So I think that question for me has stayed with me, and every time I feel that I'm losing myself, or I keep asking myself that question, what's more important, the art or the artist?
Yeah. And Percy, just to sort of piggyback on that, what's more important, the art or the artist, and also tailgating on what Putsipho said earlier on about, reluctant heroes of circumstance. I'm wondering, is this current crop, is this current generation of creatives, in all their different disciplines, of artists in all their different disciplines, are they missing a moment? Are they missing a moment to truly significantly document their own story in the most authentic, reflective, and I guess most interrogative way? Are they? Because I almost feel like there is this resurgence, right, and this redefining of what is African and this reclaiming of our identity, and you see it, fashion designers, you see it, visual artists, performers, you see it, but it almost seems like we're so fixated on the positive side of what it is to be African that we sort of are negating everything else that's about the current lived experience of being South African. And if you turn the pages of history, surely there's going to be a very big chunk of the story that is missing.
Just briefly to that, it would be, do you think that the politicians and government are actually spending sleepless nights worrying about what they are going to wake up to as an artistic expression?
No.
Nothing. Because we are not... we have not created any fear in terms of changing the status quo. They sleep peacefully. Actually, they're probably expecting us more to go and vote than to say something. So the artist has not been a threat to the current dispensation at all. It was prior to 1994, not anymore. So I think that's just my general answer. But again, it also has to do with media, whether media is paying attention. I mean, my PhD was on whether everyone was listening to what young people have to say, in a nutshell. It was called the triangular relationships between commerce, politics, and hip hop, and a study on the role of hip hop in addressing the socio-economic and political landscape in South Africa.
Mm.
It sounds like a long title, but the question I was asking: what is young people saying?
Mm.
What are they saying? And is anyone listening?
Mm.
The answer was nobody's listening. Doesn't matter what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because you can come in person.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a much more interesting sort of take on this. I think generally, I mean, if you think about the 80s, which is supposed to be this heavy politically engaged moment, I mean, it's in the tail end of the Black Consciousness Movement collapsing, or at least being absorbed into the EDF moment. So politically, the social firmament is very rich, right? And this is the year, I mean, part of the years when we are finding that creatives, I mean, like Duva did some of his best work in the 80s, and we know how political that was.
Yeah.
We Miriam Makeba was basically, you know, running the world on the tail winds of what they did in 74 in Zaire on the sidelines, or should I say on the musical performance related to the Rumble in the Jungle organizer Brahim Masekela. So the musicians were really on. But also, this is the same time that we created something called bubblegum music, right?
Yes.
This frivolous thing. So the proposition I'm making is that at any given time, you will find that there is frivolity in the firmament, but also there is a cadre of creative intellectuals who are concerned with deeper ideas. So just as you have, I don't want to name names now, musicians who are really interested in kind of nothing, you know, to do with what is affecting, you know, the lived experience of the people. You have then musicians like Tumi Mohorosi, who are really, you know, pushing the envelope in about how to use, you know, jazz music as we have it today. And by the way, we're going through a golden age of jazz music in the country, at least for the last 10 years.
Mm.
Young people are taking on to the music and they're owning it. And you know, the music of Thandi Ntuli is concerned with not just only the political, but the kind of spiritual, and the intersection of the spiritual and the philosophical in that sense. So young people, at least in that space, are kind of understanding that they inherit particular kind of heritages that enjoins them to care.
Mm.
But at the same time, you have, you know, entertainers who are worried about whether what they say will mean that they miss out on the next brand endorsement.
Yeah.
Right. So at any given time, you have a kind of contest with this. Ngugi wa Thiong'o talks about Africa being the site of contest between two traditions. The resistance tradition, the resistance against the imperial, tradition, the imperial tradition, which basically the oppressive, you know, apparatus that runs the world. Now, what you will always have is an oscillation of influence between the two.
Mm.
I, you know, also agree to a great deal with what Prasipo has just pointed out. There is that while the creatives are doing what they are doing and the people are being moved by what they are doing, whether that is kind of decadent or conscious, it also has to do with how the social agenda is set, right? And the social agenda is set through the media kind of platform. And whereas in the earlier days, the newspaper and the radio would have been the singular place where you would then be able to go, you have this, you know, like a formless thing called social media where frivolity can reign. I mean, we all know what happens on Twitter.
Mm.
So what we struggle with generally is grabbing onto a language that empowers us to be able to move into the space of creative practice and find in the kind of work that moves us to care about what it is that our neighbor is going through. What we are struggling with right now, even though we are all sort of almost settling on a common consensus about the bad, how bad corruption is, we are not clear about what language to use to describe what is going on in the country now. And creatives are constantly putting out that word. We don't know whether, you know, should we celebrate the fact that we are almost 30 years as a democracy and that's a beautiful thing, or should we be alarmed by the levels of service delivery that are not, you know, up to where we think they should be. And because we as a society are unclear about how to name the moment, we are unable to seize onto a particular creative output that's coming out and daring to propose a particular language. So what you're finding in terms of this indecisiveness is a larger socio-political or socio-psychological kind of reality of a post-colonial country.
Percy, let's hold it there, gentlemen. Unfortunately, I've fast run out of time, but thank you so much for indulging me and taking some time out. I know, to you guys, when you can talk forever. You and Percy can talk forever, and then you put.
I'm also on the owl.
And then you put Breeze in there.